The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. The word of God, which also performs its work in you who believe. Blessed are those who hear the word of God and observe it. We're here on a Thanksgiving, sort of, right? The day that we're celebrating our Thanksgiving here at the office. And today is going to be a lot different than usual, where I have a prepared slideshow and all that. We're just going to do a kind of a devotional. I'm going to go through and look at some of the scripture that talks about being thankful. And I think it's just important for us to remember. And that's what this was supposed to be all about. I mean, we love the food. We all love the food. But it's really about being thankful. So let's go ahead and take a moment for silent prayer to kind of get our hearts ready for this study of the Word. Shall we pray? Most gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the blessing of being able to gather like this. And this is the time of year when a lot of people kind of reflect and consider their blessings, and they try to be thankful. But we know, Father, you've told us that we need to be thankful all the time. So we come before you with gratitude, thankful hearts. And we thank you again for this opportunity to meet together and fellowship one with another. And we ask that you would bless our time together today. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 through 18. And most people are familiar with this passage and the idea of rejoicing always, praying without ceasing, and then in everything giving thanks. I've actually done a verse-by-verse study in 1 Thessalonians, and a better translation of verse 18 would be in every circumstance. Because not everything that happens in your life is something that you're going to be able to be thankful for, but in every circumstance, whatever circumstance you find yourself in, you know, if it's, you were just talking, John, about, you know, loading up a van and you move into Texas and you don't know what's to come, right? You have no idea if you're going to have a job or not and all those things. And yet in that circumstance, there are many things you can find to be thankful for. I mean, think about the fact that you had the wherewithal to be able to make that transition, even though you didn't know what was going to happen. You were able to make that move, and you know, you think about all the things that went with it that you could be thankful for. And one of the big moments in my life, and you probably weren't even in, I don't know if you were in Central Texas at the time, probably not. When did you come, just this year? Or?
About 18, 19 months ago.
Yeah. 18, 19 months ago. Okay, so back in 2011, I live out in the Bastrop area, and back in 2011, we had the Bastrop Complex Fire, which certainly Californians know a lot about fire lately, right? But we had the Bastrop Complex Fire, which is a huge fire. And we had been told, the rumors were rampant, and we had been told that the church had burned down. I couldn't get there. They had the whole thing blocked off because of the fire, right? I couldn't get to where the church was, so I didn't know if it was there or if it was gone. But the rumors were that that whole area had burned up. And and I could believe that because we were at the church when the fire started, and it was on a Sunday, September 4th, 2011. I remember like yesterday. And as it started, the fire started, and we watched it jump Highway 71 like nothing. You know, it just jumped that highway in a matter of seconds. And that was only, I mean, we're talking about a quarter of a mile from the church. We watched the fire jump the highway. So when I heard the church had burned down, I was not stunned at all. So then we were having to self-evacuate from our house because there was nobody really in that area telling people to get out. And so we evacuated, and I ended up here in Austin. My wife and I ended up here in Austin at John Lehman's house, you know, yeah, a former employee. And we ended up at his apartment, and we grabbed, you know, our pets, and we grabbed kind of some essential things, and we were there in the apartment. And I woke up the next morning, you know, and everything we knew, the house was probably gone, the church was gone, you know, I don't know how many of my, you know, families at the church had lost their home. We didn't know. It was just bad, you know, it was really bad. And I got up that morning and I started thinking about it, and I realized I had so many things to be thankful for. And I sat down on my computer and I wrote an email and I sent it out to everybody at the church, and I said, listen, we have lots of reasons to be thankful, you know, even in the midst of that. Well, it turns out the church didn't burn down. They stopped the fire just up the road from where the church was. I don't know if it's a coincidence or not, but there's a fire station just up from where the church is, right? Providential. And then the house, they actually stopped the fire before it got to the house. So we didn't lose either one. But we didn't. When I wrote that email, I thought it was all gone. You know, I thought it was all gone. But had my relationship with God changed? No, my relationship with God was the same. I had my wife. I had the pets there. You know, I had the congregation, even because the church is not the church building. The church is the people in it, you know, and so none of that had changed. And we actually met, believe it or not, we met on a Sunday morning. There was one Sunday where we couldn't get to the church because, again, they had the whole area, you know, partitioned off. And we actually went to a park in near Smithville and the bleachers. And everybody got up into the bleachers, and I stood there, and I had my Bible in my hand, and preached a message just straight out of the Bible to the people in the bleachers, and it was just as, you know, just as meaningful as any church service we've ever had. So we had so many reasons to be thankful. So a better translation of verse 18 is, in every circumstance, give thanks, for this is God's will for you. So, I mean, in life, my goodness, we find ourselves in a lot of different circumstances. And I've said this before in our Bible study, and I'll say it again. If all I have, if all I have is eternal life and salvation through faith in Jesus Christ, and God takes everything else away from me and that's all I have way more than I deserve. Right? So I am blessed if that's all I have. And so if you keep that perspective, and Daniel actually in one of the classes he brought up, you know, if you think about it, given where we were before God rescued us, you know, where we were, what we really deserve in this life is nothing good. We really deserve nothing good to happen to us. And so anything good that does happen to us is God's grace. Really, if you think about it, that's what it is. It's God's grace. Well, this passage is one that, you know, a lot of people go to because it has the idea of rejoicing in it as well. But what I thought was interesting is just recently I've been teaching verse by verse through Colossians church. And we hit, I didn't want to go there. Let's see, Colossians 3:15. And these three verses right here in Colossians, every one of them talks about thankfulness. It says, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. And really what that means in the translation is it means let it guide your decisions, actually. In other words, you're not supposed to be making decisions in life when you're frantic and in a panic mode. It's supposed to be making decisions when you're being guided by the peace of Christ. Does that make sense? Spiritual tranquility, right?
What's the phrase? You know, you want to make God laugh, tell him your plans.
Yeah, well, that's true. Yeah, and I've got scripture to back that up, by the way. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. There it is, right? And be thankful. Verse 15 talks about that. Then 16 says, let the word of Christ richly dwell within you, with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. Now, this word for thankfulness here is interesting because it is from charis, which is the word for grace. And so what this really means is gratitude. This is a better translation of that is singing with gratitude in your hearts to God, right? That heart attitude of thankfulness and gratitude, right? The appreciation for what God has done. And then 17, whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. So this passage actually has three verses in a row that talk about a thankful heart attitude, you know, the thankfulness. And I like the idea of the singing with gratitude because, you know, when I was a baby believer, when I had just come to faith in Jesus Christ, I loved digging in and studying the word and all that sort of thing, but I really didn't see much value and, you know, what the real point was with the singing part of it. Why did we care about singing the hymns and all of that? But this verse and the one in Ephesians, both of them talking about singing to one another, right? Let's see if this has the Ephesians reference. This one of them has it bound to for sure. Yeah, Ephesians reference. Ephesians says, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks. You notice it's a similar kind of a theme here in Ephesians. The idea is that, you know what, that singing is actually an expression of the gratitude in our hearts. I think it's an expression of the love we have for the Lord in our hearts. And I have come to really appreciate the singing. And then not only that, this talks about that the singing of the songs to one another actually is a function of edifying one another. You know, when we sing hymns together, that's why we like to have the congregational hymns. We will occasionally have someone that will sing a solo or that sort of thing, but at our church we do mostly congregational hymns where everybody's singing to one another, you know, as the scripture talks about. But it's supposed to be out of gratefulness and gratitude in your hearts. But you know, if we were to sit down right now and we were to go through and talk about it, I mean, my goodness, we would run out of time before we could each list out all the things we have in life to be thankful for. I mean, we come up with a list longer than the 50 questions that you had. We should have gotten some of those. We missed some of those we should have gotten. Anyway, but I mean, I'm sure you know what I'm talking about. I mean, this theme, by the way, of thankfulness, this is a theme that is very prevalent in Paul's writings. I mean, he talks lots about thankfulness. You think about, you know, the humility and the heart attitude that Philippians teaches us, you know, all the things that we can get out of different books of the Bible. But are there any verses that are your favorite verses as far as thankfulness goes? You know, the 1 Thessalonians 5:1 is a good one. I don't know if they even have a note there. What does that one say? By in His grace. Remember, I told you that talks about grace. It's with gratitude there in grace. And that, by the way, is an important thing, because I think that's that gratitude is means that you're oriented to God's grace. In other words, you understand, look, I mean, God has been so gracious to me. Look at my life. I mean, and how gracious God has been to me. I mean, you gave your example. You know, you guys came here not knowing what was going to happen. And you know, without a shadow of a doubt, you know that God opened the doors. God is the one that opened the doors that allowed you to be here. I mean, that's a testimony to God's grace. Did you deserve that? No, none of us deserve that, right? None of us deserve
that. But you had faith in.
Yeah, it's the idea of the faith, right? You're in accordance with your faith, right? Jesus talks about that idea of in accordance with your faith. There's plenty of good, you know, there's plenty of good verses that talk about thankfulness. I'll go back to the 1 Thess. You know, we did the always giving thanks, and that one, you know, is the same idea, right? Always giving thanks. This is an interesting one. First, I thank my God. This is Romans 1:8. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, because your faith is being proclaimed throughout the whole world. It's as a pastor of a church, I thank God all the time for the flock. I mean, I see the faith. I see their faith. I see the Lord working in their lives. I see what's happening and the growth is taking place and those things. And I thank God. I'm thankful. Now, that's not something He's done directly to me. He's working in the flock, but I'm thankful for that, because that's an amazing thing to just watch, to be able to. I'm thankful that I'm able to be a part of it in terms of just being there as a shepherd, just watching the Lord do what He's doing. Yeah. You know.
So one that, and then I'm going to say this because I'll forget it, and it's hard for me to think of one when you're going through it. But there's one that says, "We give thanks every time we think of you," and I want to say it's Thessalonians, but I...
Well, it may be. That's why we have the Bible software. Let's see. Thanks.
Yeah, thanks.
Think. That might be...
It's the New Testament somewhere. And I want to say it has a joy in it, too. But my brain's not working right now.
Let's see... Here's one. Here's a similar kind of an idea in Ephesians 1. For this reason, I too, having heard of the faith in the Lord Jesus which exists among you and your love for all the saints, do not cease giving thanks for you while making mention of you in my prayers.
That's very similar
to what you're talking about. Let me see if this one references it.
Same thing, remember.
Colossians is similar, right? For this reason also in Colossians 1:9, since the day we heard of it, have not ceased to pray for you. And ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will and all spiritual wisdom and understanding. Now, that's not talking about thankfulness, but it is. He's talking about that. Let's see. It's probably. I mean, Paul does that in Romans. He does that in a lot of different areas.
Look at Philippians.
Let's see. Philippians 1:3.
Yes.
I thank my God in all my remembrance of you. Hi. in all remembrance of you, always offering prayer with joy in my every prayer for you all, in view of your participation in the gospel from the first day until now.
And
yeah, that's an example.
1 Thessalonians 1, 2, this may be the one.
Let me back up.
Sorry.
No, that's okay. 1 Thessalonians 1, 2 was also mentioned there. We give thanks to God always for all of you, making mention of you in our prayers, constantly bearing in mind your work of faith and labor of love and the steadfastness of your hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the presence of our God and Father, knowing, brethren beloved by God, his choice of you. It goes on from there. But we were talking about how thankfulness, you know, that I mean, we all, Thanksgiving, you know, everybody gets together, they enjoy the food, they enjoy the family, if they're getting together with family. They maybe even watch some football on television or something of that nature. But it really is all about thankfulness. And we were talking about, you know, how we can be thankful, you know, in almost any circumstance. And that's really what the 1 Thessalonians 5 passage says. It says, this should really be translated, in every circumstance, give thanks. You know, wherever you find yourself in life. And John gave an example. He talked about it before we started the devotional here, or class, or whatever you want to call it. But he mentioned how he and his wife felt like they were led to come to Texas, and they loaded up a moving van and they came to Texas, and they didn't know how it was going to work out. They didn't have a job lined up, nothing really. You just guys got in a van and came to Texas, and God opened doors and gave them opportunities, and that's why he's here. And that, knowing that God opened those doors, I mean, that just gives you a thankful heart, because you're not taking credit for yourself. It's what God did, and it makes you appreciate who he is and what he does in our lives. And so that's and I mentioned the 2011 fire and how we thought we lost everything, and yet I still had so many things to be thankful for. I mean, my Father in heaven still loved me. I knew I was going to go to heaven when I died. I had my wife right there with me. There were so many things in the midst of thinking we lost everything. And the hard ones are, I mean, you know, you think of examples. I mean, the hard ones are when something pretty significant just happened to you, right? I mean, that's when it's really difficult to maintain that constant joy, which 16 talks about, the thankfulness in every circumstance. But, you know, again, when we drop back and we really think about what our situation is in life, we realize that we have so many blessings, right? And even in the midst of a difficult thing, I mean, if tomorrow I found out that I got laid off and I was going to have to figure out, you know, all of that all over again and deal with interviews and find jobs and all that kind of thing, which you've gone through recently. And if I were going to have to go through all of that, I would have to catch my breath. I'd have to settle myself down and I'd have to orient myself to God and think about who he is and realize he's got me. Yeah. One of the things I do with the church emails, and I do it every time, And I started this when I actually had some physical illness problems that turned out to be a gallbladder. And I signed my emails every time, resting in his loving hands. Because no matter where I am, I'm in the hands of God. And there's no better place to be. I mean, there's nothing better than that. And I pointed out, I just thought this was interesting right now, Stephanie. I'm teaching through Colossians. And in Colossians 3, 15 through 17, it actually talks about thankfulness in every single verse. Letting the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which you were indeed called in one body, and be thankful. So that verse talks about thankful. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness. And this is really gratitude, is what that is. Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. So in this little stretch, Paul is emphasizing over and over again that thankful heart. And interestingly, when you get to the very next section, there's actually some dynamics going on within the Colossian church that are not good. There's some family dynamics that are bad. I mean, that never happens, right? I mean, families never have problems. But he's dealing with some family dynamics. And so what he's doing in the first part of this is he's trying to orient them to grace and help them understand how thankful they need to be and help them. I mean, he's trying to inject some humility into them, actually. And that's really what it comes down to, right? Is when we have a difficult circumstance, and you guys know my language for it. If we have a difficult circumstance, and our immediate reaction is to go into our little pity party, right? If that's what we do, that's really a function of pride, because what we're doing there is we're totally discounting that God has a plan for us. We're totally discounting that. We're thinking about it totally from a selfish perspective, and we're ignoring God. You know, and when we talk about, this message here in Hebrews 12:2 of fixing our eyes on Jesus, when you get into one of those moments and you're having your pity party or you're going through those kinds of motions, your eyes aren't fixed on Jesus. You know, your eyes are fixed on yourself, and you're not really focused on the one who died so that you might live, right? I mean, that's you know, and then it says, well, I love about this, it says the author and perfecter of faith. And so really, that's another one of those moments. I think we talked about this before. I think when we have those moments where we kind of fail, I think it almost always is rooted in some sort of a lack of faith. We fail, we doubt, we have a moment of unbelief is what it really comes down to, and we fall into those moments, right? I mean, you think about it, if I got laid off and tomorrow I was having that pity party, it'd be because I don't believe that God's got me. I don't believe it. You know, I've gone through a moment of disbelief, and so that's what we want to try to avoid in life. And I was asking if you had if people had passages that they were their thankfulness passages that they liked. Do you have one that you particularly care for? Or, I mean, we can just
let it simmer. Mine took like 3 minutes to come in. Okay.
Do you have one, John? Or I mean, there's only a few.
Just a few. Well, you were talking about the going to the pity party thing is just with everything that he's done for me, I don't tend to dwell on that too much.
Right.
My family, we come together, pray.
Yeah.
Because every time we do, yeah, he answers those prayers.
Yeah, well, you know, and that's the thing. What a wonderful thing that is, John. That you get that's the way the family is, because that coming together like that and praying together, that is a powerful thing.
Well, one of the next section below, I think it was in Thessalonians, that where it was talking about, you know, wives subject to your husbands, mm-hmm, your wives. That, I mean, I look at that and see that as something that has always worked for my family.
You know, and it's a recognition of the order of things in the family, right? That's how God designed the family to work. Yeah, for sure. But you know what? I mean, one of the keys to it, and I talk about this, you know, that passage that we were looking at in Colossians talks about, you know, fathers, don't exasperate, mm-hmm, your children. But at the same time, another thing, husbands, don't lord it over your wife. You know, because if you try to lord it over your wife, that's not going to go well. But look at this one. Look at this one right here. Romans 6:17. But thanks be to God that though you were slaves of sin, you became obedient from the heart to that form of teaching to which you were committed, and having been freed from sin, became slaves of righteousness. Think about that for a second. Again, if every material thing that you have is stripped away from you, think about what happened to Job. Right? If everything you have is stripped away from you, and all you have left is your life and your salvation. I mean, there it is. Thanks be to God. Right? Thanks be to God that we've been rescued from the slave market of sin. I mean, that is right there. If nothing else, we have everything. If that's all we have everything. Right? I mean, are there other ones that are y'all's favorites? Or? Yeah. So, I mean, and the idea is, you know, what even if you have a difference of view, the Romans 14 passage talks about, you know what, even though we may have a different faith conviction about something, I can give thanks for the fact that I eat, and you can give thanks for the fact that you don't eat. Right? There's thankfulness in all of this. It's really built into everything. You know, the remembrance. And we talked about singing before you came in. I talked about the singing and how singing is supposed to be an expression of thankfulness and joy and love. I mean, that's what singing is supposed to be about. And there's a lot. Like I said, Paul emphasizes thankfulness. Hebrews 13:15 is interesting. It says, through him then let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God, that is the fruit of lips that give thanks to his name. So what thankfulness is, is actually a function of praising God. Because think about what you're doing. You're recognizing what God has done, and you're being thankful for what God has done. So it's a form of praise, and actually the Hebrews passage talks about it as an offering up of a sacrifice. That's a sweet-smelling savor before God. Think about that for a second. How awesome is that? I mean, just being able to give thanks. But I just wanted to remind everybody that, you know, especially, I mean, you've got servers that are broken down. You know, you've got things you got to do. You've got things you got to do. I got a, you know, a high-pressure thing where we're trying to meet a deadline. And in the middle of all of that, we can sometimes forget that we just need to take a step back, catch our breath, and be thankful because God has blessed every one of us.
So I was in the kitchen, and then I was like, well, why don't you come join us? And I was like, I'm after finished cleaning, I'm going to get early. And then I was taking some stuff to my car, and I was like, no. Like, Stephanie, you can take a minute.
Take a few minutes for God.
Yeah,
yeah, well, that's kind of those moments I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Stopping and saying, you know what, it's going to be okay.
Yeah.
And honestly, I think, I don't know if you guys do this or not, we'll kind of close with this because we're at the end of our time, but having some time every day of just some quiet time with God, that's really important. I mean, the prayer time with your family, that's huge, right? The time I have of prayer with my wife, I mean, we try to make sure every single day that we stop and pray together. As if it's nothing else, sometimes it's just right before I'm leaving to come to work, and we stop and we have some prayer time together. I mean, I think it's those moments that quiet time we have with the Lord, and those times of intimate prayer with the family. I mean, those are important. Those are the things that keep us on track. You know, I think. Any other things y'all want to add? I mean, I know this is brief, but it's at least a little something to reset our thoughts where they need to be.
Today I'm thankful for being here. Like, I thought it was nice for everybody to get together. I thought people were in good spirits, and so, like, I do like coming to work. I do, no matter what state we're in or what people are concerned or not concerned about or whatever, I still feel very blessed to be able to drive to work each morning and enjoy coming to work, no matter how busy we are or what demands we have or whatever. So I did think about that.
Well, you know, it's interesting. I mean, it kind of almost seems flipped upside down in a way, but it's kind of interesting. You know, the company has contracted a little bit in terms of the number of employees that we have compared to, I mean, remember when the CLIP program was going on, or you know, for sure, you weren't here, but it was massive. I mean, we had people, and what I was sitting there thinking when we were in the cafeteria today is, you know, how much nicer it was with a smaller group. I mean, it was really nice. We were all sitting around together. The way it used to be, there'd be people spread out all over the place, and you wouldn't even... I thought it was really nice today with everybody kind of together, and it was I thought it was a much better atmosphere. Didn't you think so?
Yeah. It's always different for me when you go down there, but it was interesting because... you know, I'm thankful that I'm here and the people are, but it was kind of like certain people that, you know, like, it's not seeing Dan Lanuschek.
Well, that's sad.
Some of it makes me sad. The group that's there to me is really solid and just a really good group, but it was very calm and relaxing, and I think, for my part, I thought it was great.
I thought it was good. I mean, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying I'm happy that Dan's gone or anything like that. I'm just saying that since we're a smaller group and we were all able to all kind of get together in one spot, it felt more together than it used to. It sort of used to feel like, you know, you might be together with the six people at your table, but today it was kind of the whole company together. You know, we were all together, and it was kind of nice.
Yeah, it was good.
It was kind of nice. But anyway, I appreciate your story from before. I mean, that's a testimony of faith. I mean, you guys, you know, just stepped out on faith, and God answered your prayers, and you know.
Well, even years preceding it, Austin seemed to keep looping back around.
Yeah.
And, you know, we'd be talking about, well, if this is going to happen, you know, and it always seemed that was something that kept coming back around.
Yeah.
And I think when I got let go from the company I was with, it was the one we just kind of went, they've done this for years.
Right.
And, you know, we ought to listen.
Well, you know, sometimes we have to have a little kick in the rear to go do what it is that God wants us to do. So that, and that's okay. You know, that's, to me, that is his loving hand. You know, I mean, it's, you know, being laid off, yeah, but it was God's loving hand kind of getting you guys to pick up and make the move that he wanted you to make. So sometimes that's what it takes. And yeah, that's a pretty powerful testimony, actually. Well, let's go ahead and close in prayer. I know it's been short, but let's close. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this time we've had today, although maybe it was a little bit brief today, but it did remind us, each and every one, that we need to have hearts of gratitude and thankfulness. And I thank you for the stories that have been shared today and the scriptures that we've looked at. Father, I pray that you would help us each and every day to wake up and realize that your mercies are renewed day by day. Your loving hand is with us every single day. You are faithful, Father, and we thank you for all the blessings that you have bestowed upon us in our lives. We are tremendously blessed. And I thank you for these folks that are here today for the study. I love my brothers and sisters in Christ that I get to fellowship here with the office. I thank you for giving us a group that we can encourage one another and build one another up day by day. I thank you for that. And we thank you for everything in Jesus Christ's most precious and beautiful name. Amen.